Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is John Chisnais and Max Cohen. In this episode, we are going to discuss the huge 2-0 win for Fulham against Wolves at Craven Cottage. The match ended just about a half hour ago, and we are going to be talking about it right after it happened. It's fresh in our brains. We're all excited. I cannot wait to get through this, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome both of my co-hosts back to the show. First, Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
Russ, I have not been better. I've not been feeling better about Fulham in such a long time. One message I just say to the Cardiff City supporters, mind the gap. 5 points between us and Cardiff City, that's the second place. And my focus now is on that position. After today's performance, I don't think anyone can say that we don't deserve to be up there with the best teams in the league. And if we play the same way like we played today against Wolves, there's no reason we can't be up there come May.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. Mr. Janaeus, you must be buzzing.
Yeah, tremendous win, really. I mean, it's sort of a funny sort of mixed day. I mean, wonderful to get the 3 points against just a very, very good side. But then I was sort of flitting between watching it and England playing Scotland up at Murrayfield in rugby and losing, which was the first time we've lost to Scotland in 10 years. I suppose we've got to give them something to be happy about. in Scotland. But it was a super win, and you know it's funny because you look at this division. The results went out for us in the midweek, even though we drew down at Ashton Gate.
Right,
we got the result today, and that table at the top and the bottom is looking fascinating. And I was just looking at the table, thought, well, we got Derby County next week, and we're 7 points clear of sixth, so we're in a pretty good spot. We've got some difficult games coming up, which would be, you know, would be ramped for them. And then suddenly, I looked down the table. And I saw a team all of a sudden that is coming up on the rails that nobody has talked about yet, about a playoff spot, and that's Millwall. Millwall are in absolute fire. They won at Burton again today.
Yeah.
And they're 6 points off of, believe it or not, they're 6 points off the playoff spots. So it's an exciting time. But for us today, you know what? We were the better side, and I don't think Wolves can have many complaints about going back to the Midlands after that.
Well, it's something that I want to get your thoughts on because I'm sure someone's going to say this, so let's talk about it from the get-go. They didn't have Neves in this match. Does he make this match completely different, Giannis? Again, it's hard to tell how much of an impact, but I think this was Fulham's day with or without Neves. Maybe I'm just being a Fulham supporter and excited, but how much of a loss was he?
They did miss him. They did miss him, but would it have made a significant difference? Maybe. I mean, I don't think Wolves played badly today. I mean, the possession was very, very good. They play a similar style to us. I mean, Neves is definitely a catalyst for their team, but they had a very strong lineup out. We soaked up pressure. Our possession was good. Our width play was excellent. We tackled like mules in the middle. You know, they've got enough quality there with, you know, like Costa and Carriera, Bonatini. And yep. These are good players. And Neves, the loss of Neves would have been a big one, but it shouldn't really have made that massive a difference. Remembering that they're a team that's walking the division and have made teams, including ours early in the season up at Molineux, look really stupid. They're a very good side. And today, yeah, we're the better side. We were the better side, and it shows. Our form is ridiculous right now, and we shouldn't fear anybody, but we shouldn't be complacent because we've beaten Villa and Wolves in the space of 7 days. We've got to go to Derby County, and they've had a disappointing result down at the Medeiskit today, but that'll be a tough game. We don't like them. They don't like us. So there's still lots to play for.
Absolutely there, my friend, and I look forward to going through this match with you. Max, over to you. Again, I just wanted to bring this up because you and I were just talking about this because I had a feeling someone's going to mention the loss of Neves, just like Grealish and Adoma being out the week prior. But Fulham took it to Villa and they took it to Wolves. We'll never know how much of an impact these players would have had. But I just think Fulham dominated the game here, especially in the second half. They were the better team. Your opening thoughts.
Listen, if a team can't play without one player, then they don't deserve to be top of the league. And I don't think Neves made that much of a difference missing out. The whole team is filled with quality. And Fulham's win is not down to the loss of Neves. It's down to some amazing individual performances and leading to the best team performance of the year, I'm going to say. Tim Ream, first of all, for me. I haven't seen a better defensive performance for Fulham in maybe 4 or 5 years from the individual player. The entire match, his tackles, his positioning, his desire was superb. And it's amazing that when he first joined, we didn't see this from him. His improvement has been remarkable. And Fredericks as well. He shows that he's going to be one of our most important players in the run-in. He just nullified all of the Wolves' attack. I mean, they're the highest scoring team in the league, and we basically stopped them the entire match. Clean sheet against Wolves. That's deserving a lot of praise. And in the midfield, Johansson and Kearney for me, and McDonald, the whole midfield three, just bossed the entire match. These are players that are brought in at a combined cost of around £5 or £6 million compared to the amount of money that Wolves is throwing around in that midfield, and that we've gotten that cut price quality. That really speaks testaments for the transfer policy in the past couple of years as well. It was just a perfect day. Everything clicked. And of course, when Sessegnon and Mitrovic score first time in the same match, those are going to be our two most important players as well going into the final run. I don't see how this match could have gone much better, honestly. Well, what a day.
Fantastic. It really was. And I'm buzzing just like the two of you. And I cannot wait just to talk about this match and all the key moments. But before we do that, let's talk about the starting 11 and the 18 overall. Giannis, I want to go to you first. I want to get your thoughts. I looked at it and I thought, okay. It's funny because I really wanted to see Shea Ojo get a start. He does come off the bench, and it's good to see him back playing with Fulham. And the one question I have was Ayite. So that's where I go. How about you with the starting 11?
Yeah, and that's the one I'll argue with every Fulham fan till I go blue in the face about that, because I don't know why. I still don't know why Ayite is in starting 11. I don't. He's not one of the 11 best players we've got, and he's not one of the best 11 that fit into our system. If you notice, Cabana wasn't even in the 18.
No, he wasn't.
I don't know what he's got to do to get any time. I don't know what he's got to do to even start. I mean, honestly, Ayite ahead of Cabana. That's the only thing. I mean, everybody else picks themselves. I mean, Matty Target, he obviously going to be there. Fredericks, I mean, I thought Christie played well at Ashton Gate, but I'd have no complaints about any of the others, to be honest. I mean, Font, it was nice to see back in, but didn't get any time, nor did, I'm going to call him Boo Boo now, it sounds better, Boo Boo. Oliver Norwood has played well this year, can't get on, and yet Ayite, for some reason, is one of his go-to guys. Respectfully, as much as, you know, we all love Slava, I disagree with him on that. The Wolves lineup was exactly what I thought it would be.
Me too.
Yeah, it was the only question mark I thought might have been if Cavalieri wasn't going to start and they maybe put Jota on the left. But apart from that, really, they've got their back fours, but 3-4 is strong. Midfield is creative and tough and big as well. And they're sharp up front. So you knew this was going to be a difficult, difficult game. And I thought before the game, if we got a point out of it, it actually would have been a good result considering all the results.
I totally agree with you, Giannis.
Yeah. So to get through is a huge bonus for us.
Listen, they were able to have Hota come off the bench, Benekafobi come off the bench. I mean, these are players. Hota is, you know, obviously a goal scorer. So maybe that was a little bit of a surprise, but still, it's an extremely strong team. And that was the team I was expecting. Maybe Hota could have started, but whatever. It's still an incredible team, and Fulham basically took it to him. All right, Max, your thoughts on the Fulham starting 11 and the 18 overall?
One thing you guys didn't mention was that no place on the bench or the starting lineup for Lucas Piazza.
Yeah.
Which I thought was surprising. Yes.
I'm
pretty sure Slavisa said everyone was fit in the build-up to this match. So I guess that was tactical, which is interesting. But of course, it didn't really matter in the end. I think he got the starting 11 perfect. Same team that beat Villa. You're not going to change the winning formula in that respect. And, you know, we might just have to say maybe resting Callis and Fredericks in midweek might have been a masterclass by Slavisa, because they looked very well rested. Fredericks in particular was really fresh. And his pace on a number of occasions in the first half really stopped dangerous Wolves counterattacks. So I've been kind of at sense of that starting 11.
Okay, very good there, Max. All right, guys, let's get into this match. Let's start with the first half. I'm going to stop at some of the key moments. I just want to mention some other key situations. Let's start with the shot in the 13th minute by Mitrovic. Then you have a shot by Ayite in the 15th minute that goes wide. And let's now stop here. Let's go to the goal by Ryan Session. It's a rebounded shot from Mitrovic that goes right to him, and he puts it in the back of the net. Giannis, thoughts on the goal by Session and Fulham taking the lead here?
Well, you know what? It's a brilliant goal because, you know, strikers are tall. When you've got a potential of a one-on-one, shoot across the keeper. Ruddy, I've seen this replay several times, and I still think Ruddy could have done better. I still think a top quality, especially a keeper who's, you know, at a top of the table team in this division, really should have done better there. But to be fair to Sessegnon, it's all about his runs. It's all about his awareness and right place, right time. And Mitrovic has shown his sheer power and force to get through and take. And
he was a
shot.
Force in this match.
He was superb. He was superb, and it does say something for our performance. I mean, I don't think he was man of the match. I know a lot of people are going to say yes, but, I mean, that goal he scored was a beaut. But, again, you know, you shoot across the keeper. I always say make keepers work. And Sessegnon's there, right place, right time. And, of course, best bit, of course, he's turning round, runs off and, you know, puts his finger to his mouth to tell the Wolves fans to quiet down. To shush. Although, got to say this, I've got to say that the Wolves travelling support was excellent today, and they've got a very good team to be proud of. But it wasn't like it wasn't coming. And Cess, I tell you, every goal he scores, every performance he makes, you know, nips the asking price up a little bit more. And it's going to get to a point now at his age. Forget the Premier League. Don't tell me that top teams in Europe aren't looking. You bet scouts are looking at this kid going. There's a Norwegian kid, Odegaard, who went to Real Madrid at 17. And he's different from Cess. He's actually playing right now for Heerenveen in the Dutch Eredivisie. He's now 20-21. But at 17, he was... he doesn't do what Cess does, but he's got a very, very good brain. Cess has got even more in terms of his ability to move into pockets. So what he's doing now is commanding respect, but he's got, I'm sure, coaches and clubs around the world, you know, sending the scouts going, okay, we better, you know, is this someone we could pick up? At 17, he's got, could have a dozen, 15 years left. So it was a brilliant goal, and Mitrovic deserves a lot of the credit, but again, Cess. Right place, right time.
Absolutely there, my friend. All right, over to you, Max. Let's talk about something that happened just about a minute later. You have a nice save by Marcus Bettinelli on a shot by Ivan Cavallero. We have to talk about this because this was not instant, but pretty quickly after Fulham scored. This was a key part of this match.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Cardiff City away match where we just went up 2-0 and then literally right off the kickoff, Zahore scores an amazing goal and brings it back to 2-1. It was that kind of really long-range effort from Bonandini. But in this instance, Bettinelli was massive, and we just cannot underestimate how good he's been in the spell when he come back into the team. And again, I don't think it's any coincidence that it's resulted in Fulham's best run of the season when Bettinelli comes back in goal. Because imagine if that strike goes in, and suddenly we lose all the momentum and it's 1-1. So that was a really big moment. And just to the conversation about Sessegnon you guys are having a couple minutes ago, so he's now fifth top scorer in the league. That's remarkable on itself.
Yeah.
What is even more impressive for me is that if you look at the stats of how many shots the strikers are taking, you have Matai Vidra with 48 shots total, Leon Clark 56, Bobby Reed 49, Lewis Graben 48, and Sessegnon's fifth in goals scored, only 31 shots. That's amazing. They scored 13 goals off just 31 total shots this season. It shows you how lethal he is, and at 17 years old, we're running out of things to say about him each week. He just keeps popping up in these positions, keeps scoring goals, and the impudence of him just shushing the Wolves fans, just like he did at Newcastle last season. You just love to see it, and he taps the badge as well. Best celebration, I think, you get to do.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, just want to mention a couple of other moments later on. You have the shot by Target in the 42nd minute, and then you have a shot by Stefan Johansson off of a free kick that just goes wide. So Fulham actually had a couple of opportunities to potentially make it 2-0. So, Giannis, I want to go back to you before we move to the second half. I just want your overall analysis of the first half. did Fulham deserve to be up 1-0? It was a pretty even first half, but still, I thought Fulham edged it there. And I think they deserved the 1-0 lead at the half.
Yeah, I think we did. It was what I really like about Wolves is their patience playing out from the back. And, I mean, they're a very skillful footy team, and they play it the right way, much like we do. And that's something that both sets of fans can definitely agree on. And they really are a very good side. You give credit where it's due. I just thought our movement off the ball was a little bit better in our shot. And even though I don't think Kearney was on necessarily top of his game first half, I thought in terms of the way that K-Mac was closing down space, Johansson's movement was decent. We were really splitting them wide with Target and Fredericks. We seemed to create more danger. And Mitrovic was bullying the bollocks out of their centre-backs. And
absolutely. And
that was really cool. I mean, that's turning out to be a very, very astute signing there. And I said to you last week that, you know, there's something to be said for the unison of nationalities here, that, you know, both Serbs know each other. That's obviously, right. Mitro has a lot of respect for Slava. And he's gone out and no one, not one Fulham fan can say that he's not going out and he's playing for his manager, because he's going out and he's really, really working hard, which is fantastic. And of course, as Max said earlier, you know, not having Piazon, even in the 18, and of course, together with Cabana, shows the strength and depth and breadth. First half, yeah, I think we just shaded it. The timing of the goal was good, but you knew they were going to throw everything by the kitchen sink in the second half, because their record speaks for itself. And, all things considered, I think all of us were very happy at halftime.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. Before I go back over to Max, I want to just talk about this a little bit more, because you were talking about Mitrovic and the play wide. And the way that I look at it, and I want to see if you look at it the same way. Now that you have Mitrovic in the mix, along with Target, because we have to talk about him as well, and you have the play on the other side, you know, you have Target on one side, you have Fredericks on the other side. Now it's almost like all these players together are complementing each other. Do you understand where I'm coming with this? Because now you have someone that can hold up the ball and also score goals, but you have that wide play as well. Am I wrong to say that the additions here of, say, Target to go along with what they've already had, and then Mitrovic, has really made Fulham difficult to play against, because they now have a complementary offensive game?
You know, one of the things that I found very intriguing with the addition of Mitro and Target is it looks like now we've developed a better understanding of playing narrow as well.
Okay.
One of the things that's often been the challenge is we try and stretch teams and use the width, but our ability to undertake interchangeable parts within the team, and the understanding of the middle three as men, we've really managed to play very, very well, narrow and nice and tight, which is where teams could take us in the past. What that's resulted in is we're really, really difficult now to break down.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the covers, one thing I noticed has improved over this 12-game run is the amount of coverage. A player's taking on a player, is being defending 1v1. It always seems to be cover. Wherever there's danger, we always seem to shift, and we do it in numbers, and we do it quickly. And the one thing that we don't do as well as a team like Wolves is we don't hit on the breakers quickly and with as many numbers as they do. They do an excellent job of doing it. Best team in the division. That.
They do.
If we could do it, if we could find a way to do it, if it's something Slava's comfortable with, then it's lights out. But I think that bit there in terms of being the ability to play mucky and grindy in the centre of the park and down the middle to narrow the game, I think has been critical in terms of the number of goals we're not conceding and the fact that we've been keeping a lot of clean sheets. Let's not forget, we kept a clean sheet today against the best team in the division.
That's a great point there, Giannis. But you see where I'm going on this, that now we have these players to add to the mix, and it makes it more difficult for teams to play against us with the way that we can play now to fit these players in. That was my point.
Yeah.
When I noticed this.
Yeah, and it's and really you pick your poison, because if you look at the center, let's look up front in the middle. You got Mitro and you got Bubu and you got Font.
Right.
And they're very different players. Font is is actually, I think, is a smart player, but is subtle. Bubu is a battering ram that has a, but has what distinguishes him from the other two is his sheer pace. And Mitro is just a bull, but he's a bull who is also a smart player. He's got greater smarts than the other two. And he's very, very good at holding the ball up back to the goal. And he's also a very clever player. And Gentleman Jim said something about it early in the game. The mark of being a good hold-up striker is to make sure you make yourself big and take the first touch. If you take the first touch early, if contact comes, you know what comes next.
Right.
And he's very good at doing that. There were a few calls that went against him to, where he should have got calls, free kicks for him. But the way he does it, I think, is very, very good. But whichever player you put up front, you've got different styles and different strengths. And that is problematic again because Slava has lots of options that he can use.
He does. He does. And that's what's great about our club right now. The squad, he can play it different ways if he wants to. And I'm glad that you talked about the three different strikers. He can play it differently if he needs to. And obviously different wingers as well. We're talking about Aite. I'm mentioning Ojo. You can come in with different options. And it's funny, one that Mike brought up, you could actually play Christie as a winger with Fredericks as your right back. That's another thing to think
Holy
about
cow.
As well.
Holy cow. That would
Mike,
be all.
Oh. Mike mentioned that as an option too. So Slavica has many options now. And I was just thinking about during this game, think about all of our complaining about the striker position. And then you see Mitrovic in there. You see how it can all work. And it excites me, and that's why I wanted to bring this up at this point, Yanis, when you were talking about the play of him, and then, of course, the guys out wide, and, of course, also the players in the middle and how they're all working together. It really can be like a machine, and that's, I think, some of what we saw here, especially in the second half. Sorry, Max, I didn't mean to forget about you. Your thoughts of the second half in general, if you want to chime in about this discussion, please feel free to as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said about Mitrovic because so much of the early part of the season on these types of shows, me and you and Giannis, we're just discussing what do we do with Fonz and Kamara? How do we go so wrong spending 15, 14 million pounds in the summer on strikers and not having any goals? And those feel like ages ago, those kind of discussions, because Mitrovic has just come in and changed everything, honestly. When you have someone who's at focal point, what I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter, which I really agreed with, is basically to the effect of Chris Martin is just like a bargain Alexander Mitrovic. Mitch is the same, and that's why I think we did so well last season, is when we have that big physical focal point who can hold up play and make everyone around them play better. And that's what Chris Martin did, and that's what Mitrovic does even better, in my opinion. His goal, and we talked about this before,
right,
Russ, about have we ever seen a Fulham striker score a goal like that in recent memory? And you brought off Pavel Pogrebniak.
I did.
It's the same type of really strong quality back-to-goal play, but also a ferocious shot, and he can do it from long range, and he just terrorizes the defense. He gave the best team in the league, the three center backs, a tour of time the entire match.
He totally did.
If you're trying to deal with a physical player running in behind, you're going to leave gaps, and that's how we exploited them in that second half.
Yeah.
And you exactly what you guys said, it's all clicking now, and that's why I feel really confident about our run-in, is because now we're kind of playing with that quality. And that's why I think, who are we going to lose to? That's what I'm saying. Who are we going to lose to?
Okay. You're jumping ahead, my friend. You are jumping ahead. Real quick, your analysis of the first half. I said they Fulham edged it, and basically Giannis backed that up, slightly edged it. Obviously, we go in with a 1-0 lead. Your thoughts quickly, and then we'll move on to the second half.
Sorry, I just got, you know, after a win like this, you can easily get ahead of yourself. But yeah, for the first half, I'm going to say it was even. Because
okay.
Wolves really had a, like, when they broke, and as you guys are talking about, they're probably the best team on the counter in the league. And Helder Costa had a couple of chances to be, to really punish us. And what happened was our fullbacks are really pushing high at the pitch. And when we lost the ball in their half, we were really pretty exposed. So thanks to really good defending from Fredericks and Ream, we averted conceding a goal, but I'd say it was probably even in the first 45 minutes.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, let's move on to the second half, and I'm going to stop at some key moments. I'll just mention some other moments as well, and let's just say that there's no question that Wolves came out committed to try to get that equalizer. They look good in the beginning of the second half. They were really putting the pressure on Fulham. You have the save by Bettinelli on the Caviero shot in the 50th minute, but they were really putting pressure on Fulham early on in the second half. I expected that, and that's exactly what we saw. We did have an opportunity in the 54th minute on a shot by Ayite. And then in the 60th minute, I believe it was a cross by Sessegnon that just goes wide. But now let's go to the goal. Let's go right to the goal, Giannis. I'm going to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on this goal. 71st minute, the goal by Mitrovic. This is something that I was mentioning to Max offline before you joined us and we started recording. I was trying to think of the last time I've seen a goal like this from a Fulham striker. I did throw out Pavel Pogrebniak just because I remember when he was playing with Fulham, he could score a goal like that. But I have not seen a striker score a goal like that in a long time. Your thoughts of the goal by Mitrovic here?
Yeah, and you know, it's something that still irks me when Pogrebniak went to Reading. I don't know what was going on there.
He did a decent job for us. I'm glad I'm bringing him up, seriously.
Yes, I'm glad you are too, because he did do a very good... I remember that goal he scored at Loftus Road against the Ha-Has, lest we forget. I think...
I was there, Giannis. That was a great goal.
That was a great goal. And he went into the crowd. He had to celebrate. You know what? He's done it again. He's taken the ball with his back to goal. And he's cut and he's shimmied and he's shommied and he's absolutely let fly. He's used brute force. It's got, you know, in hockey terms, you'd say the puck had eyes on it. I mean, it's gone at the corner. Should Ruddy be beaten from that distance and the near post? I don't know. But he's absolutely cracked it. And you could see his reaction to it. It was a superb goal. And I can't remember the last time I saw a goal like that from Fulham.
That was my point.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. But
been a long time.
It's been a long time, but it's funny because in the space of 4 days, you've seen a goal like that. And then the goal, and I wasn't on the show in midweek, and I'm not sure if anybody mentioned it, but that pass by Cyrus Christie was the pass of the season. That was a ridiculous ball to Mitrovic. That was absolute insanity across a box with the outside of your foot spinning the way it did. And for Mitrovic to finish it from there was such quality. And so in the space of a few days, we've good teams find ways of getting results. We weren't at our best.
That's right.
Bristol City. We weren't. They kicked us off the park. We knew it was going to be a tough place. But the Wolves' back four is big and strong, and they're pretty mobile. But Mitro has made them look silly. It's a wonderful goal. And the best thing was, when he scored it, Russ, you were a little worried about. It was, 71 minutes in? So he's not totally 100% yet. So to do what he's done and do it when he's done it was tremendous. And then he still had lots to go, because the last 15, 20 minutes, we were still going at them and creating chances. And it was wonderful to watch. But Mitro has been a huge blood transfusion to what we try and do. And he's not at 100% yet, which is scary.
That is the scary part, Giannis.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember so many shows talking about the need for a player like this. Well, now we have it. Now you can see how he fits into how Slavica wants Fulham to play. But to your point, if it's not working, you have other options with Font and with Kamara. You do. You have different ways to play that striker position. But it's great to have someone that can do what he does and play, I think, the way that Slavica wants him to play. And like you said, what's scary about it? He's not 100% yet. I can't wait to see him get to complete match fitness, because I think we're going to see even more goals from Alexander Mitrovic, and also involve his teammates. That's the one thing that I liked about Mitrovic, Giannis, before we move on from this, is his ability to get his other teammates involved.
Yeah, he's a team player, and I've had a good laugh actually with my sister-in-law, who's a Newcastle United fanatic. my mother is actually from Newcastle, and I've been winding up because she was going, Mitro doesn't do this for Newcastle and he doesn't contribute. And I've been laughing. I texted earlier and said, what the hell did you get rid of there on loan? Like, what were you thinking? What was old waiter Rafa Benitez just thinking there? Because to be honest, Mitro looks like he's reborn and he's not 100%. And if we do get promoted with Mitra on board, I'd be stunned if we didn't put a bid in for him. And we'll probably have the money to do it because, in all probability, we'll probably lose Cess, and for very big money right now. So we're actually in really good shape. Mitro's man, he's fun to watch, and that was a lovely goal. What a way to basically seal the game up.
Absolutely, Giannis, and it's 2-0 at that point. And what's interesting, 1 minute later, Stefan Johansson almost scored. His shot just goes wide, and it could have been 3-0. But at 2-0, Fulham were at this point controlling the match. I don't think there's any other way to say it. They were in full control. I think they were wearing down this Wolves team. But I have to mention this, and I want to go to you, Max, because Wolves had an incredible opportunity to make it 2-1 here. In the 85th minute, a Fobe shot is blocked by Tim Ream, thankfully. But then you have Hota has a great chance to make it 2-1, and his shot goes over the net. Let's talk about this, because it could have been a nervy ending. It went Fulham's way, though, here.
These are the moments that make me realize that this season is going to be different than past seasons. Because in the past, Hota would have swept that away. It would have been 2-1 with 10 minutes to go. The 5,000-odd Wolves fans would have been cheering them on. They would have had all the momentum, and I could have seen us maybe dropping the 3 points and falling to a draw. But just that bit of luck that we got, they just scuffed the shot over.
Yep.
That's really exemplary of, like, this season for me, is that it's different. You know, we're getting the results. We're getting those breaks.
And the breaks. That was a break.
It was such a break because, to be fair, they unlocked us way too easily. The ball, initial ball up to a Fobe was very well done.
Yep.
Tim Ream, again, did fantastically to block a Fobe's initial shot. But there was no support because as soon as he blocked the shot, went right back to a Fobe. He laid it off to Hota. And if he doesn't miss that, it's a totally different match. So we got away with one there. But it really is saying that that was their only real chance. In that second half, that was vaguely threatening. So to limit a team like Wolves to really very few chances, that's a big thing for me, that we basically nullified them.
Totally agree there, Max. All right. Giannis, to finish up our discussion on the second half, I think Fulham dominated the second half. I know we get the goal, but from that point on, it was all about Fulham. Your thoughts on Fulham's play in the second half here?
Very, very good. You know, they came at us first 10, 15 minutes. It's what we expected, the quality side. And then we've ground our way back in. Mitro's got the goal. Jota's missed that one from 5 yards out, but even good players miss chances and open nets. We've seen it all the time. What can you say? 2-1 last 6 minutes would have made it nervy, for sure. But it just, I think that proved it wasn't going to be their day. They're comfortably in top spot, and no one's going to catch them. I see it as a blip. You know, they're going to win the division. It's just a matter of who's going to get second. We're right now, you know, we're in great form right now. We've got all the momentum. We are a scary force at the cottage. The cottage has now become a fortress once again. It's been a long time. You think of where we might have been if we'd started off the season this well, even at home, even if we had, you know, draws, two or three of the games that we drew at home early in the season, we converted to victories. We'd be in second now. But having said that, you know what? The momentum is flying with us, and we knew it was going to be a tough game. And we've served notice that we've beaten, you know, a very good side, and now we're not scared of anyone. We don't care who it is. Derby County are going to look at this result and go, oh, no, they're coming up there. And there's no love lost between these two teams. We know that. The irony of ironies for all the fans out there were clamoring to get Chris Martin back. Chris can't even make the Derby County lineup because he's not considered fit enough. And it's funny where, you know, we were the result that maybe I think of the Cardiff game. We won 4-2, and all of a sudden that was the train. That was a train running downhill. And right now we're just rolling over anything that comes in our path.
That's a key moment in the season. I'm glad that both of you have talked about that match. It's a key moment.
Yeah, huge. We, for some reason, we found our, we got a little bit of our swagger back. And we started getting healthy, and we started getting a little bit of luck, you know. And it's the old game, the Ipswich game at home. You know, goal down, red card, we come back. You know, Burton Albion, red card, we thump them 6-0. It's a little, and something you do need breaks, don't care what anyone says. And you know, even Jota missing that open net today.
Yeah.
It's still it's a bad miss, but it's still a break. And right now it's going for us, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts on the second half, your analysis. Giannis has already said, you know, talked about his view on it. I think Fulham dominated the play in the second half, especially after they scored the second goal. It really showed the quality that we have, that we can play against a side like this. They can bring on the players that they brought on. Yes, we did get a decent amount of luck with that opportunity late in the match, but Fulham were the better team in the second half and deserved this 2-0 victory. Those are my thoughts. Your thoughts in the second half?
Yeah, more than deserved, that 2-0 victory. And as we can say, it could have been more. Johansson had that chance right after,
right,
which he just put wide. And Mitra had another shot, which he put over. But we were still, it's not like we eased off. We kept up our pressure. And once the crowd got into it, the home support got right behind the lads after his 2-0 up. The crowd was really bouncing for the first time, I think, I've heard in a while. Us being that loud and that intimidating to the way players. And, you know, we talked about the turning point just now. And I'm not going to say I'm the good luck charm, but let me just present to you the facts. So, last loss we had was the Sunderland match.
Yep.
And I come to London, see the Barnsley match win, see the Cardiff win, and we haven't lost since.
Well, it all comes down to you, Max. That's right. It all comes down to you.
Listen, I'm still out there that, you know, we haven't lost since I saw them play. So,
well, Max, we need you to go back to London then, so you can keep this thing going.
And Ross, another thing, which is a bit of a tangent here, but another kind of creepy fact. I lived in London from the 2010-11 season to the 2012-13 season, three years. First year I moved back to the States, we get relegated. Well, it's not looking good. You know, I just got to go back.
You need to go back, Max.
I need to go back again. I'd love that. I'm sure if Fulham, you know, pays for that, I'd be all for it. But yeah, in all seriousness, it was one of the most impressive performances I've seen in that second half. And it was even more so impressive because after the Bristol City match, I made a point that even in our long unbeaten run, we hadn't really played well, which is kind of a subjective thing to say, but I think we could all agree that we hadn't played to our potential, is what I was trying to say. And I think in that second half today, we saw what we're capable of doing.
Absolutely.
And it all clicked, yeah.
I think that's what's most exciting about this is that you just nailed it. We saw the potential of this team unfold display against a team that's first in the league, and we dominated the majority of that second half. They had their early spell, but Fulham were the better team in the second half, and they wore that team down. That's what was great to see. At the very end of that match, I know they have that incredible opportunity that they missed, but still beyond that, Fulham were the better team, and that's to me what I've taken away from it. All right, guys, let's go to full-time stats, see what they tell us. Let's go to possession. Fulham had 53% to 47% for Wolves. Total shots, 14-12, edged by Fulham, but on target, 6-2 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 3 for Fulham, none for Wolves, which is interesting. Crosses, 12-11 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 20-16 in favor of Wolves. Let's go to attempted passes. 5-14 to 4-54 in favor of Fulham, but it's pretty close. But attacking passes, a little bit larger of a difference here. You have 256 to 157, so that does tell you something. This is an interesting stat because this will tell you how the game was played. Passing accuracy, both teams, 81%. So keep that in mind. Aerial duels were in favor of Wolves, 12-6, and fouls were 11-10, one more for Wolves. All right, Giannis, what stands out to you from the full-time stats here?
Well, it's a very even, but a couple of odd ones. The passing accuracy of 81%
for both teams.
Two teams I have not seen this season and not seen for a long time. And that tells you everything you need to know about both teams. The other thing is the number of fouls. I think you said it was 11-10.
Yes.
Or something like that. The fact that there were 21 fouls in the whole game, and yet it wasn't a dirty game. It was a well-played game. And I think that goes to show you can have a physical game, but it can be a clean game. And it's funny. And it's funny, if you go into social media and the feedback we've had from Wolves fans compliment you about the way we played, and vice versa, shows, you know, I mean, Wolves are top for a reason. I'm not going to you know, on our day with our best team, can we? I think we're close to being on a par with them, but they're top for many reasons. So I have no debate with that. And they're going to win the division, and they deserve to win the division. We've played very well today, and we've only got 53% possession. When's the last time we only had 53% possession?
It's been a while.
So testament to Wolves and testament to our boys. They were ready. The most important stat you get is the number of goals you score. So we've got the two, and we've kept a clean sheet, and we've played well, and we faced adversity, and we've stared it down, and we've weathered storms, and both teams played their part in what was an excellent game to watch.
Okay, excellent. Max, your thoughts on the stats. What stands out to you?
The possession was one for me as well. That, like Giannis mentioned, that not many teams hold us to that few possessions. But that being said, we still dominated possession in that respect. We had more. The passing quality, again, both teams like to play the right way, which contributed to a good match. And listen, Wolves are going to win the league. I think I agree with that statement. Fulham always seems to do so well against the best teams. I tweeted this out last night before the match about how the success against the best is something that's been a fixture of Fulham in the Slavica Kanovic revolution the past two seasons. And I mentioned that we did a double over Newcastle last season. They ran away with the league. And we also did the double over Huddersfield, another team that got promoted. So we always love to elevate our play against these best teams. And we saw it again this afternoon.
Okay, excellent there. All right. Guys, instead of just doing man of the match, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. I think you guys are going to like this. We're going to go through the player ratings from Get West London. Ryan O'Donovan has already posted the player ratings from the website, and I'm going to share just the numbers, and I'm going to ask you yes or no. Do you agree with the number? And then you can just share your thoughts on each one of these players. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with Marcus Bettinelli. Giannis, I'll go to you. We can go through these fairly quickly. Get West London gives Marcus Bettinelli a 7. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay. Agree. All right. Max, over to you. A 7 for Marcus Bettinelli.
Yeah. It's just about when you said Bettinelli, before you even read the rating, I was going to say 7 because made that great save to deny Bonatini, kept a clean sheet, but wasn't really asking you anything too much. So I think 7 is pretty accurate.
Okay. Right back to you. Let's do the fullbacks. Fredericks, they gave Fredericks an 8, and they gave Target a 7. Agree or disagree on these two players?
That's funny. Again, I thought immediately 8 for Fredericks. I thought he's one of the best defenders. Him and Ream were superb today. Target as well, muscled for a couple instances, but I think 7 is also fair. Very good performances from the two of them.
Okay. Giannis?
The fullbacks.
Yes.
Yeah, the fullbacks. I would agree with the Target one, but I'd give Fredericks 9. I thought Fredericks was magnificent.
Okay.
And he's another one. It's funny. We're talking about players at the end of the season and ratings of value. He's one of your old fashioned fullbacks that goes flying up and down like a donkey. But a brilliant donkey, because I love donkeys. And you know what? He was magnificent today. He was one of my men of the match. I thought he was outstanding. So okay. 7 and 7 for Target, but 9 for young Fredericks.
Fredericks, okay. Right back to you. Get West London gave Tomas Kalas a 7, Tim Ream a 9.
Agreed on both. Kalas really didn't put a foot wrong. Ream has become, and it was talked about, this is the 25th anniversary of the passing away of Bobby Moore, and I still have to pinch myself to think that, you know, my dad and I went to, you know, a number of games where, you know, you had Bobby Moore, obviously, is part of the 75 Cup final, and, you know, George Best and Rodney Marsh. I mean, does it get any better? Bobby Moore was such a classy player, a magnificent player, and he died way, way, way too young. And Ream has that air of class and dependability and unruffledness that is just, it's incredible. And although he doesn't have the captain's armband, he's one of the de facto captains in my mind, and I thought he was superb today. So for me, 7 and 9 for Kalas and Ream.
Okay, over to you, Max. 7 for Kalas and Ream and 9 from Get West London. Agree or disagree?
If anything, I'd go one higher for Ream. I think that's as close as you can see to a 10 out of 10 performance from a defender you'll see in a long time. He was so assured, so strong in the challenge. And, of course, the best thing about Reem is how good he is with his feet and how he can play out the back and really relieve our pressure. So for me, he's 10 out of 10. And I agree with Callis. A 7 is fair.
Okay. Giannis, right back to you. Let's go through the midfield three. McDonald, Kearney, and Johansson all get 8s. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. Mac, 8. Kearney, 7. Johansson, 7. I don't think Kearney was on top of his game, especially first half. Johansson, a few stray passes. I thought Mac was excellent. He's in fact, I'd change that. I'll go, Mac gets an 8.5. I just thought he covered every blade of grass. He always seemed to be there as cover. He's your archetypal defensive central midfielder, but not the one that, you know, the prototype that seems to come into the game last 5 years in terms of, I don't know, you know, the old Patrick Vieira type, big, strong. I was thinking the Man City old boy. But I'm having a senior moment. But I thought he was an absolute rock in front of the back four today. So I'll give him 8.5, but I'd give Kenny and Steph Joe 7.
Okay. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts of the ratings from Get West London on the midfield three?
I'm going to single out Johansson for a better rating here. I think he should get a 9. He was the midfielder that impressed me the most. It was such an all-action display from him and really reminded me what his heights of last season. I think he was everywhere today. He provided that crucial pass to Mitrovic that led to our first goal. I just thought he was excellent everywhere. So I'm going to give him a 9, and I agree with 8s for McDonald and Kearney.
Okay. Over to you, Giannis. Let's now look at the ratings from Get West London for Floyd Ayiti and Ryan Session. They were both given a 7. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. Ayiti, for me, gets a 6. Session gets an 8. Ayiti had a couple of chances. I'm still not sold. I thought he did a decent job coming back to cover. I'm still not sold on his 1v1. To me, he doesn't frighten left backs. He doesn't frighten left backs at all. I think we've got better options. I've said it. I think Cabana is a better option as an example. I thought Sessegnon had a decent game. It's good running into pockets. First touch was good. And the goal he scored, again, right place, right time, right run. Good finish. So for me, he would get an 8.
Okay. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts.
I think I agree with you. 6 for Ayiti. He wasn't great, but he wasn't poor. I think he had a decent match, so 6 is probably accurate. And yeah, I think Mitrovic deserves that rating as well. I think the Get West London. Ryan Session.
It was Session.
Oh, sorry. I misspoke. I'm in Session. I think they got accurate ratings there.
Okay, excellent. All right, we're going to end with Mitrovic. The rating that Get West London gave him was a 9. I'll go to you first, Max. Agree or disagree?
I'd agree. I think in terms of the two goals, he played a crucial part in the first one, and of course, it was all him for the second one. And the way he terrorized the Wolves' defense was just so refreshing to see from a Fulham striker, something we've missed so much. I think the 9 is very accurate for me. Mitrovic, today was the day he really announced himself. He scored his first goal in midweek, but today was the day. He played the 90 minutes. He showed us what he's all about. And it's one of the reasons that I'm so optimistic about the second half. Just the running about of the season is how well he played today.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, 9 for Alexander Mitrovic from Get West London. Agree or disagree?
I agree, and I'm actually going to change, and for that reason, I'm going to change. I would change the marks of Fredericks and Ream to 9.01.
Okay.
Just because I think Sky Sports gave Mitrovic the man of the match, and I get that, and I think he does deserve a 9. I just think that Ream and Fredericks were that good, and Mitrovic was out of sand. That second goal was just sheer quality, but I thought they had an edge, but I have no qualms about giving him a 9. He really led the line very, very well today. And as I said earlier, he's not even 100% fit. So watch out, Derby.
So with that said, Ream and Fredericks would be your co-man of the match.
Absolutely. And I've got to tell you, I'm very happy with our win today. Very, very happy. Preston's, anyways, it's a tough, yeah, nice to win away. On the road, but I've got to tell you, your boys, they're playing well at the moment. I'm glad we've seen the back of them for a year.
Well, thank you very much for that, Mick. All right, over to you, Max. You're man of the match.
It's Tim Ream. I've not been the biggest Team Room fan since he joined, even though he's a fellow American. I was always a little bit skeptical of the way he played in the opening season, but he's proved me just so wrong in those past 2 years. I've never seen, as I mentioned before, such an assured, complete defensive performance. And you love to see the Fulham support recognizing that as well. You know, the chance of Reem were a constant fixture of today's match. He deserves all the accolades.
He's won everyone over, Max.
Match. Exactly. Fantastic. He has.
Okay, excellent there. All right. Let's end with talking about Slavisa. Giannis, I'll get your first take here on Slavisa here. Give him a rating.
Well, I didn't agree with the selection of 80, so I said that. But the team were ready. It's been a tough week. You know, Villa, City, Wolves, a defining week. 7 points, we'd all have taken it.
Think about that. 7 points from those three.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give them a 9.5. I think I'd like to have seen Bubu come on. But it was a very, very good performance. And it's clear that all the players are buying into his philosophy. And I think, you know, I look at some of the comments from other managers today about performances where, you know, people, you know, criticizing defending or the way teams attack and what have you. And really, Slava doesn't have a lot to say in post-match conferences because the lads go out and do the job and they've all drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Yep.
And it's reflected in the way we're playing and the results we've been getting in the last 12 matches. So for me, 9.5.
Okay, excellent. Max, your rating for Slavisa?
Video 9. Again, probably starting 11 was something I wanted to see a tiny change, which is probably I'd prefer Ojo than Aite, but that's a minor grievance. And apart from that, he was superb. What I mentioned beforehand with the resting of Kallas and Fredericks, I think that was paid off in terms of how well they played. So that was a really great
point.
That was a really great strategy for me. And I just love the way he just reacts to the match. In his post-match presser, when I asked if he thought, you know, Fulham could get into the top two, he just says, "I'm only looking at the next game." And that's the perfect attitude. To fans, we
that's
can get
the right
carried
attitude.
Away as much as we want, and we will get carried away. But for the manager, he's so grounded, he never lets himself get carried away. There was a point in the game after he scored the first goal, and the camera focused on him for 10 seconds. He looked angry. And I bet he actually probably was angry. He's such a perfectionist. He's always looking for the best possible result from us. And that's why I'm so happy with Slavisa today. This is when we're so lucky to have a manager like him, I think, who's focused, who's determined, and really cares so much about the success of Fulham.
Totally agree there, Max. And Giannis, before we end the show, I want to just talk a little bit more about Max's point, because I've heard this time and time again from Slavisa. Us as fans, we can jump ahead and we could say, oh, second, we can look at second. We could talk about the matches coming up. He's just focused on the next match. He's on to Derby County. It's something that we would say here with the New England Patriots. We're on to Cincinnati. He's just on to Derby County. He has that focus. It's the next match. And he has the right mentality as a manager to not get too ahead of himself. He's looking just at Derby County. I want to talk about that because I've seen other managers not take that philosophy. Slavisa, I think, has the right philosophy when it comes to just looking at each and every match as its own entity.
Yeah, I think sometimes it can be an odd way of looking at it. But one of the things he might be thinking is, okay, we're 7 points clear of sixth. So maybe he will tell his players, look, we're 7 points clear of sixth. Don't worry about what's up above us. Worry about what's below you. And we take every game at a time. We can only do what we can control. Instead of saying, let's, you know, everybody's chasing for the second. If he keeps talk of going for second to a minimum and worries about what's below to keep focused, that's the right way to do it. As a coach, I've always done it. Just don't worry about above. Worry about below. Always worry about below. Even if you're at the top, worry about below. And so right now, we're in a very, very good spot. We know that. Villa know that we're hard on their heels. Cardiff City have a tricky game tomorrow against Bristol City, between two coaches who absolutely hate each other, Warnock and Johnson. And Warnock has no, and has, there's no love lost between Warnock and Lee's dad, Gary. So this is going to be a nasty, spiteful game. And I would not be surprised if Bristol City turn them over. And again, so that's where you're looking at. So the two teams above us will be, you know, they'll be the three teams, they'll be nervous. They know that we keep on winning and we're playing well as well. So it's a good time for us. But we have to focus on the next game.
Yep.
We're done and dusted with the Wolves. Now we've got to worry about the Rams. So right. let's and then once we play them, then we look ahead. So I thought in this 6-game period, privately, I thought the toughest game of the six was going to be the one we had on Wednesday. Because Bristol City, in the last 2-3 years, have given us real trouble. And they gave us trouble when they were at the bottom, let alone where they are now.
It's a matchup problem.
The matchup problem. And against the other teams, you know, Cardiff, you know, Wolves, Cardiff, Villa, Derby, you can see where the matchup is good because of the style that's played. Bristol City are a lot more agricultural, and they're a lot more physical, and they're bigger as well. And I thought that would be a difficult game, and I thought it was brilliant. We got the point. But game at a time, Russ, game at a time. We've got that's 12 right. games to go. You know, we've got 1,080 minutes plus of soccer to go. So there's a long way to go, but we're in good shape right now if we keep focused on that one game at a time mentality.
Totally agree, Giannis. I'm buying in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too. I'm glad that you brought up Yay. The Kool-Aid scenario because I am definitely drinking the Kool-Aid. I've always been one that's been one game at a time. Try not to get too far ahead. It's difficult because I've caught myself thinking about second place, and I shouldn't be doing that. I should just be looking at it like Savisa's looking at it and just saying, hey, let's see what we can do against Derby County. You brought up a good point. Worry about the teams below you because they're the threats, and let everything else take care of itself. And if you have a one game at a time mentality and you just worry about yourself and you take care of business, everything will take care of itself. So it's a great way to look at it. So I'm glad that he has that way of approaching it. And Max, I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm all for the one match at a time view because I think that can pay dividends for Fulham. All right, great show, guys. Fantastic show.
Right. It's
time to go. Sorry, Mick, it's time to go. For Giannis Janaeus and Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.